You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, third hour of Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 of The Voice, local news and talk. I'm getting over my tearing up over the Cody's Witch story, which I just put up on Facebook right now. I'll email it to you if you want it. Email me at wakeuptucsoncomments@gmail.com, and it's good. Good story. Very, very good. Again, opening day, Rito tomorrow, and then we have happy hour at Games and Gadgets in the back in the Short Rest Tavern. Craft beer, vino, 11 meads. Little mead action, and then catered by Malta Joe.
And Sean will be there for cooking advice.
Sean will be there for cooking advice. She's great, man.
She was fabulous. I mean, she really was.
That's Sean McCluskey. We call him Sean.
Yeah. Put your seatbelt on, strap in, and hang on. Hey, Matt, during the break, you mentioned buffalo grass.
Sure, yes.
Okay. What was...
Yes.
Is there like a city eradication program, or is it a county thing? What's going on?
Regional.
Oh, really? Yeah. Can we have them start?
It was the Desert Museum, I think, was the Tucson Desert Museum is going to organize the buffalo grass pulls, according to the article.
Can we have them start at the corner of Broadway and Frontage Road on
I-10? I don't see why not.
Because, I mean, we do have the gem show going on, right?
Sure.
And when Mrs. Jill Biden came into town, doctor, whatever you want to call her of what, I'm not sure, but when she came into town, we had to eradicate the homeless and relocate them and everything else. We have over a million.
Well, we didn't eradicate the homeless, just.
you'd be surprised. Some of them are missing. She did eradicate
them. Just
want
to clarify.
She cleansed the area. There were 35 tents. There were none 2 days later. Come on now. They took dumpsters.
We eradicated their accoutrements, not them.
Are you sure? Did you get tossed in a dumpster travel with them?
No, they wouldn't do that.
Are you sure?
So
we have the gym show coming in, right? The gem show kicked off.
Here,
it's already
it's here.
It's going live, and all these people are in from out of town. And the gateway end of downtown, our city of gastronomy, you get off the freeway at Broadway, and you sit at that stoplight right there. You gotta roll your windows up and avoid the homeless. And then you look over, and you see there's a parking garage there. You're like, great, I can park my car there behind the four-foot-tall weeds. And they look like buffalo grass, but we can't get that gone, can we? We knew this gem show was coming for a while, didn't we?
No.
We have people that do landscaping and cleanup for the city of Tucson. Hell, we're planting a million trees, but we can't clean up the weeds? When all the visitors are coming? I mean, annually they flock here. They just show up out of nowhere and bring their rocks and trinkets. And we don't... I really don't roll out the red carpet or anything. Just like
maybe we should tell people that you can smoke buffalo grass and then it'll all disappear very quickly.
Just tell them it's got fentanyl
on it.
That's the
best thing Matt's ever come up with.
Yeah, just tell them it's got fentanyl on it. The homeless will pick it for us for free.
I was thinking THC, but, you know, different strokes for different folks.
Yeah, whatever works. I don't care what you tell them it's on it. Just let them pick it.
So what it is, Sean, right, is every year, no matter how pathetic the city can be about doing what it's supposed to do, right?
I mean, potholes, weeds, sidewalks.
I want to do this on the gem show discussion, right? Is there's always some sort of efforted cleanup.
Where?
Just calm yourself. Let me finish. When gem show rolls around, and we have had people show us, including in the Golf Links Alvernon area, that they went through last week with bulldozers one more time. Okay, but what happens
is the homeless are back already.
Well, I'm sure they are, but what I'm saying
they don't
is
leave long.
They can do what they say they're going to do, right? And they just do the same amount. They don't have that much effort going towards it. But what happened is, over the last 10 years, it's gotten so disgustingly bad that whatever that same effort they did this year, it's really not even a dent, right? And you're right. So when you look at some of these streets along that Fifth Avenue, you know, between the U of A and Tucson Boulevard,
sure,
that looks like hell, right? I mean, they're not going to,
they finally cut down it had to have been 8 feet tall. There was a pallet or a mesquite growing out of the concrete median.
Right.
On Aviation going towards the base. You had to dodge the thing with your truck. I mean, car, you couldn't, it was always going to clip you. But they finally clipped that sucker. And now there's one on the other side. It's probably 4.5 feet. I think they're going to let that mature a little bit and replant it somewhere. Maybe it's one of the million trees, but I'm not sure. But the fact that you say that they actually have efforts.
There's a little bit. I'm not saying a lot.
Okay, what's the economic impact of the gem show?
Oh, it's millions.
Okay, so you think you might want to give a little more concentrated effort and clean your city up to make sure that these people don't leave and go to a place like Las Vegas where they have enough convention space.
So KOLD already ran the story last week, right, of social media comments from visitors for the Gem Show talking about how horrible the city of Tucson looks. Between the weeds, the fentanyl, the homeless, the tarps, the fires,
the zombies,
all of that stuff, right? So I do want to take this over into a different part with Gem Show. So Lupita over at Channel 4 yesterday did a story called Tucson Considered the Gemstone Capital of the World, right? And so John Ford, who's the new president of the AGTA, which is the American Gem Trade Association, they usually hole up over at the Marriott University Park Hotel. Maddie, have you eaten all your Christ-cooked pork yet? I just want to make sure you're good. So
I still have enough for three meals. That's good.
So John Ford is now not the old director. John Ford's the CEO of AGTA, took over for Doug Hucker. And he says Tucson at this show is the hub of the international loose gemstone trade, right? And talking about how we're the gemstone capital of the world. And I'm not going to argue that we are not the gemstone. We're fine. I'm good. I just thought about this as a marketing guy, tourism guy. Have you noticed we've never figured out that that's how we should, even with all of our other problems and challenges out there, right? Instead of the old Pueblo, which I agree with Mike Varney when he said it 8 years ago, it sucks and it's over. It's done. Old Pueblo's done. Doesn't do much.
Nobody knows what it is.
All right. I like Tucson, International Gemstone Capital of the World and City of Gastronomy. That should be what we lead with. Right? Why not? Why?
Sure.
Why is
I'll
that,
give you that.
Why is that so hard for this community to figure out? Because that's an easy one.
Because it's an economic driver and they don't focus on economics.
Well, I like how one of the things that John Ford had to say was we're ethically sourced and properly disclosed. Because I'm sure
if it wasn't ethically sourced, Rahina and the crew would be losing their minds.
So think about this, right? With when it comes to Tucson,
and how do you prove that it's ethically sourced? I mean, there's no blood diamonds running around Tucson. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, there's.
Bite your tongue. Bite your tongue.
He said it, not me.
That's what I'm saying.
But for me, the there's always these conundrums, right? So we have this Gem Show, which is one of the things left in the world that we're known for and still going on, right? But it comes from evil mining.
Yes.
Right? And sometimes gems are a byproduct of when you go copper mining.
Or lithium.
That's a whole other thing.
I was like, you got your electric cars and lithium. We don't get me started on mining. Come on, let's go.
Right? But
let's dance.
Gems are found as they're going for copper or other things under the earth that are the basis of our biggest special event. Right. And again, when we talk, I used to remember as a hotel guy, we used to have what we would say what season was in Tucson. So season was really Martin Luther King Day weekend because of the Fort Lowell shootout soccer created a heavy critical mass of rooms being used.
What happened to the Fort Lowell shootout?
It still exists. They're still doing it.
I haven't heard anything about it.
No,
no radio ads. That's what I'm asking.
No, they had a couple of stories.
Didn't they already have it?
They did. Martin Luther King Day weekend. Yeah. So that's still going. Yeah. Don't know if it's growing. Don't know what's going on.
Why don't we promote that? You're bringing people in from all over. You got all kinds of teams coming in. You got to fill rooms.
It'd be interesting to see if that's a growing tournament or stagnant or dying a little bit because
probably dying
the
because
Tucson,
of the fields.
The Phoenix teams don't like coming down here.
They'll break their ankles.
And I told the story when Lawrence and I were coaching a team in the Fort Lowell shootout, and we were playing a team in from Texas, and we were playing Udall. Okay. And it was disgusting.
Like concrete.
It was disgusting. And I literally was apologizing to the guy I'm sorry, our field sucks, dude. It's just horrible. But anyway, so then it would go through Easter. Boogie high season.
Big new complex over here.
Which new complex?
The one right across the freeway.
With the soccer stuff.
By Kino, yeah.
Well, soccer in Tucson's.
But the shootout. I mean, come on. You got brand new fields, shootout. It should be growing, shrinking.
Well, again, it's about do people want to come down here?
Right.
That's the big thing, right? So I'll have to ask I don't know if the what the contract is with the Association of Realtors either, because they were always the They've been the sponsor of that for quite a while, so we'll have to figure that out. I'll talk to Billy and see what's going on there. But what I was going to say is season would go through Easter usually. That'd be high season. Then you would shoulder it from there.
April.
Right, through U of A graduation.
Well, that's your next little wave.
Right, and then graduation to...
And it dies.
And it used to be the Labor Day. Right, and then it used, but I would say high season doesn't start. So the shoulder season doesn't start till October now, or so. Now, the reason I bring this up is, and Betsy, if she's listening, because we did hotel stuff together for a couple of years together, and doing all of Burt's hotels downtown. Right, so we had you had Fort Lowell Shootout, you had then you had the Gem Show, then you had we had the big waste, the International Waste Management used to have their. Their meeting, their annual conference here. Then you'd have, turn away from the radio, spring training.
What happened there?
All right.
All
right. And so really in the end, to me, high season in Tucson is February, and shoulder could start in March is where we're, I feel like where we're heading.
You better figure something out.
You know, so, all right. Mr. McCluskey's here, rvr2to.com for Rincon Ventures.
That's
the
us.
Best in property rental management and real estate. Give us a call, 790-2040. Anything goes. Call us whenever you want. We'll cover it. Sean and I can, if we don't know it, we can wing it, as we
this
like to
true.
Say. So, Sean McCluskey, Christy Simone, Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. All right, 70s dance party on the Wake Up Tucson show. I always like this one too because I never understood a word that Barry says in half of the song. You just kind of go. Right here. He goes. There you go. There he is. All right. Sean McCluskey, Christy Simone, and you. Wendell texted me. He says, the only reason we still have a gem show is that the gem show isn't run by a single organization. It's a group of companies that just show up. There isn't one organization that can, quote, move the event to another city.
That's an interesting point.
It says, FLS is bigger than ever, and it's played on the new Keno Field. Oh, Fort Lowell Shootout is bigger than ever, and it's played on the new Keno Fields. And the fields are nice. So as long as if the Fort Lowell Shootout's growing, awesome.
As long as the fields are nice, it'll continue to grow.
Well, because they're playing, those fields are nice, but remember this,
they're brand new.
All the other ones the county has,
these are brand new,
let go to hell. So, but
is that by design?
Oof, that'd be a question for another day. So one other thing on the gem show, so a couple of our friends on Facebook, when I put this story of shouldn't we be leading with this as
sure,
we're the international gemstone capital of the world. Now, it's funny. I think with Rahina being Mrs. Biological Diversity, she might not dig that.
Probably not.
Right? Because gemstones imply raping of the earth, right? So we can't do that. But so a couple of our friends on Facebook were complaining about the prices of rooms, hotel rooms. Right.
Okay. They're not making any money on any other time of the year, so they're going to gouge you just a little bit because you're coming.
So
they know you're coming.
So Thunder Bacon says, have a couple of friends in the hotel business said a lot of clients are canceling their hotel stays and trip to Tucson due to the hotel rate hiking during gym show this year. Now, trust me. Now, in the old days, we would take. I remember this is 20 years ago at the downtown. We were the Holiday Inn City Center. You know, we would raise our rates to like $180 a night, and people were like, you know, they'd be like, you're gouging us kind of thing.
A little
right?
bit, yeah.
So, but things are different 20 years later, of course. So,
here, all the online booking sites and competitiveness. And
so I went on hotels.com yesterday and booked a weekend trip for me and you this weekend in Tucson. Just looked at some rates.
All right.
Checking in today, checking out Monday.
We got two queen beds or just one?
Oh. One big king. All right. So the top of the mark right now is the Ritz-Carlton.
Sure.
All right.
$359 a night.
$812.
$812?
It's
for
true.
A room?
Yeah, it would cost us...
you could rent a house.
$3,000 for the weekend to stay at the...
Wow.
All right. So
did you get breakfast? Turndown mint? Anything?
No. You get to go to Core and spend $21 on a cheese omelet.
Wow.
Okay. Next one is the Marriott Star Pass.
Cool, let's go $759.
$706.
That's right. Ridiculous. So, but their summer rates aren't cheap either, though. They're still like $300 in the middle of the summer.
Graduate Tucson, the one next to Mark's old place.
Okay.
That's kind of the apartment.
Yeah, sure. Didn't even know it was
there. What do you think?
Oh, what's got to be $550?
$466 a night.
That's getting reasonable.
Okay.
Jeez, you could make a car payment per night.
So here's an interesting one. So La Paloma is $413 a night for this weekend. All right. Now, the one that's interesting is...
I want to know how much the Days Inn at Speedway and Stone is.
Well, we'll get in there. So the Homewood
Take
Suites,
your life into your
which
hands.
Is the old Windmill Suites by in St. Philip's Plaza. Right, okay. And it's not as good as a brand new Homewood Suites. Homewood's nice. No, new Homewood Suites are nice to stay at.
Sure,
this is fine. It's a fine suite hotel, right? $453,
but it's a suite hotel, so you get a little kitchenette, so you're a little better off.
I don't know if there's a kitchen. I just think there's a bedroom and a.
There's a little hot plate.
Is there? Okay. So anyway, that's $453.
You can make coffee and maybe one dish.
So they're $40 a night more than La Paloma. Okay. Lodge at Ventana $393, AC Motel on Campbell and Speedway $386. Actually, Hacienda del Sol at $380 is looking pretty sweet right now.
What's the cheapest?
Lodge on, we can do
just
that.
Spin the wheel like the Wheel of Fortune all the way to the bottom.
That's okay. We can do that. Hold on. Computer, hotels.com. Do your mojo. Okay. The Super Inn is $125.
Where's that at?
I don't know. It doesn't say.
It doesn't say it's on Benson Highway near I-10.
So the Knights Inn, that's the place right off of I-10 yeah, there. Yeah. That's $127.
A night.
Yes. A night. Stone Inn, U of A, $151.
Wow. That's just crazy.
Super 8 on Tucson and Grant Road over there on I-10. Yeah, yeah. That's $181.
And that doesn't include taxes and fees and everything else. So you're looking $200 a night.
Yes.
And then you got to feed yourself. So for the weekend, you're looking at $1,500.
The Motel 6 in Marana is $200.
Hey, at least you're in a safe area there. There you go. Put them in Marana.
Oracle and Rudisill Best Westerns $204. The University Inn, wherever that is, that's $233. So for me, I'm not here. I'm not begrudging these people the rates.
Oh no,
that's
just the market. Get it when you can, but if you can get it. That's crazy though.
So just to give you a little feel, but you know,
that's insane.
$812 a night for the
no. Not happening. I don't care. No.
Wait till you get to next month when they do that.
In all honesty, you can get a one-bedroom suite at the Wynn for like $1,100 a night. So well,
demand, baby. Supply and demand.
But it's the Wynn versus Grant and Tucson.
You're a capitalist, right?
It's horrible.
It's kind of like, you know, it's what someone's willing to pay for it, right?
I agree. It's the market. What right. The market will bear, that's what the price is.
When people say, hey, my Superman
comic... We do that every day for a living.
A book says my Superman comic book's worth $2,000. Yeah.
Go get it.
If someone can give you $2,000.
Yeah, if somebody gets, that's what the market will pay you.
All right, McCluskey and Chris, it's the 70s dance party. Wake up.
I was just reading the riveting... Pima County has a turf program.
Oh, Sergio put that...
Yeah, their goal is to improve the overall organic material, reduce irrigation and water, improve staff knowledge, and the best possible turf for our parks and patrons. 63 programs. Program sites cover 120 acres. You, too, can work for Pima County.
So
only like 7,900 other people work there.
So when Sergio put this up on the Wake Up Tucson discussion group
under the truth or satire heading, yeah, it was beautiful. I was like, ooh, this is. I had to read it then.
As I put, did someone from the Pima Bee write this whole thing? Right. So it says, do you know that Pima County has a turf management program? And the thing that really confused me, Sean, was. A turf management program that began in 2018.
Soccer fields have been suffering since like 2000, but we come up with this program in 2018 and it hasn't gotten any better. Nice.
They say, based on soil samples.
Caliche. Yeah, it's kind of like a rock.
A system of procedures and applications are prescribed to a given field.
Everybody that gets hired gets a free jackhammer.
So, there's a couple of things here, and why this is a joke, and Lawrence will be on in a second. He wants to talk about room rates. He can tell you as a guy who's coached a zillion games on soccer fields. So, what happens is, I remember when Fred Gray was the head of Tucson Parks.
Yep.
And our daughters used to play soccer together, so once in a while we'd bullcrap on the sideline together. And we'd talk about it, and he always said it was about, well, two things. One is they would never budget money for overseeding in the winter, right, for grass. And then at the same time, it was always about overplay.
So they wouldn't overseed in the winter, but your shootout is in February.
Right. So that's January. The other thing about – so the one thing about playing at Keno is that because they do overseed for winter is that at least they're playing on green grass, where before you'd just be playing on dead grass.
Yeah.
Right? And so what happens is – this is why when they say we're taking turf management semi-seriously or whatever – right, is what happens is you have summer grass that looks okay. It's fine. It's and there's always
summer here, summer there. There are patches elsewhere.
Well, there's a fine line between grass and weed, right? And that makes up
called length,
right? But there's that. So they have that. But what happens is that because you don't grow a winter grass isn't coming in, that summer grass just gets beaten to death, mm-hmm. right?
And then struggles to take off in the summer,
right? And some of it's been so displaced off of the dirt that there's nothing to come back anyway, right? So Oral Valley used to get it right, and since we had Mary Jacobs as our town manager, who did suck, okay, they stopped overseeding, it looks like, Naranja, which is stupid, right? Because what happened was they were overseeding it for MLS would come and play soccer, and they'd pay the $10,000 for seed or whatever it was. Oral Valley, you need to do this so it's a healthier way of doing grass.
Maintaining your parks for your constituents and your people is important. And you live in a well-to-do community in Oral Valley.
Yep.
Marana takes care of our stuff pretty damn well.
Yeah.
And I just had a memory that I, not to digress, but I posted on the Marana app, My Marana, and I had a pothole coming here. And by the time we got off air, the pothole was fixed. You can't do that anywhere else.
But no, Marana, they're not doing that.
I don't know what they're doing on that My Marana app. There's somebody's. If it gets in, the email goes to every department that's associated with your request, which is beautiful.
The fields of Pima County that don't overseed and they just let go to hard pan death, they're amazingly dangerous to play. So listener Don, he's a podcast guy. You'll see him on our Facebook page once in a while. He coached different boys team, a little younger than me and Lawrence, but he'll tell you that he had a kid who literally fell on the field at Golf Links over there on Golf Links in Craycroft.
Yep.
Hit his head, just fell on the dirt and got basically a concussion. And his head injury just from hitting the ground in that field, he's done with soccer the rest of his life.
Really?
Yep. That's how hard he got smacked on, just falling on the dirt and just hitting his head the wrong way on the grass or the dirt at Golf Links Park. And so when I hear this and I look at the Ochoa field over by the sausage shop, that's a joke. Even the fields to the west of the racetrack and inside the racetrack, they suck too.
Yep.
So let's go to Lawrence, who's coached 1 to 14,000 games on those fields. Lawrence, good morning, sir.
Morning. I remember that story. I remember when Coach Don told us that, and it just, my jaw just dropped. You know, unbelievable. I don't know why people complain about hotel room rates. Okay. I we're everywhere. I remember when we'd go to the Santan tournament, and that was just before spring training really expanded up there. Remember how difficult it was to find hotel rooms to put our girls in? Remember all that and the prices? Right now, it's a Drury Inn. And this is what's really funny. I love to stay at the Drury Inn on Pinnacle Peak because all my archery coaching is at Ben Avery Shooting Facility.
Right.
They are probably charging close to $300 a night when the Packers were in town. They were wanting $280 a night when the Packers are going to play Sunday at
Glendale
against at Glendale. They were wanting $280 a night to stay there, and yeah. I just said, "Are you kidding me?" And I'm not even, you know, I'm not going to go to the game. I'm going to determine. I said, "It's just crazy." So people shouldn't complain. In '96, I went to the Olympics in Atlanta. My wife found a hotel, and it was about 20 miles outside of Atlanta. And it was $100 a night. And you could tell that this was not a $100 a night hotel.
Right? Sure.
David, you could really tell. It wasn't $100. Maybe $65, maybe $55. You know, this is $96. But that's what happens. When you have vent everywhere, it's, you know, supply and demand. And when you have to understand that. There are alternatives. You know, you can go VRBO now, but that's what you have to budget for. I mean,
you're right. As, you know, again, it's a supply and demand. There's great demand. It's great that the Gem Show still gets this kind of demand, right? And as a community, we've actually failed. We've gone the other way. You try to build those areas of demand throughout your calendar, right? And that's what's happened. Exactly. I think maybe the more shocking thing for people is not that the rates are so high, is that the week before they were only 100 and something, now they're 400, right?
Or 800.
It's that much of a jump because there's not much going on either side of those events, right? And so what other event is generating? So I got Fort Lowell and I got Gem Show, right? And then U of A grad or move-in times, right? What other things? Yeah, what other things in the Tucson calendar now create demand for hotel rooms?
Yeah.
And don't tell me it's the Arizona Bowl. It's not.
Yeah, but even the middle of summer, though, if you want to stay at some place like Star Pass or La Paloma, they're going to still be in that $290 to $300 range per night. Now they're at $800, $900.
Well, they've learned that the family comes in with seven people in there.
Sure.
And they're cooler, right? And they're getting, if you can get it, you're going to get it, especially in this market.
Like the Drury Inn in the summertime, nobody wants to be up in summertime. I mean, when my wife, you know, one of the last years Caitlin played club, the team thought, well, let's go San Diego or, you know, or Phoenix. And I'm thinking, God, we always go to stupid Phoenix. Why don't we go to San Diego? But, you know, Coach Bill, he didn't want to go get his lunch handed to him. So, you know, Claire and I are getting ready to pack everything for San Diego. My wife said, oh, yeah, we're going to go to Phoenix. I said, my wife, the Phoenicians don't even stay in Phoenix on Labor Day. They go Prescott, the White Mountains, everywhere else. I'm like, why are we going?
I remember that weekend because my daughter we were in San Diego while he was roasting in Phoenix. So worked out good for us, buddy.
All right, let me tell you something really quickly about field maintenance. I found out last night to fix our fields at Valencia for the kids to play. They told one of the other coaches it was $300,000 to fix that field. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, so we'd rather cause irreparable damage to kids' bodies than to spend that money to fix the fields.
So
horrible. You think?
But again, it's the same situation, right? Just like Pima County, you let the field and the city, they let the asset get crappier, 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 and then it's amazingly expensive because you're almost doing a replace.
I was going to say, wait till they do that with the trolley. Because they don't take care of any good things they have. All their good stuff is always broken. And look at your soccer fields. You've let them get to such decay that you can't afford to fix them. Now you're replacing them. They're going to do the same thing with the trolley maintenance.
Yeah, it's just exactly. It's just take care of it. And they put a little. I remember as a kid that at the grounds when I was going to school in the Amphi district, every fall, you know, when the grass was dying, they would come in with that spiker and spike up the holes in there. We'd walk out there to the goals. And then we'd come in the morning, and there'd be this big pile of brown stuff. Well, it was the manure, the fertilizer they were going to put on there. And you could tell the knuckleheads that went and played in that pile because you wouldn't want to sit next to them the whole day. They were a little browner than they were when they got there before, you know. And it was just the smell gave it away. But you don't see that. And it's just it's another thing that just makes it bad for kids. And we got to think about making things better for kids, parks and everything. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Hey guys, take care. Have a good day.
You too, my friend. 790-2040. Let's go to Kevin on line 3. Kevin, you're on with Sean and Chris. Welcome to Grass Talk.
Yeah, I have a question. You're bringing into this turf thing all the safety and stuff for the kids and whatnot. How dangerous is soccer? Is it as dangerous as American football where every play somebody's getting knocked onto the ground? And maybe you might need turf, but I think in Mexico those kids just play on dirt. I mean, if the kids aren't falling down all the time and getting scraped up. I mean, when I was a kid, we played in the street, on the asphalt. Are we making babies out of all the kids? Come on, you guys. Jesus.
So I will tell you, because I've coached many a soccer game, that it can be a very physical, and kids are so they can fall onto the ground or the grass, right? But it's gotten to a point where the hard pan is concrete. So,
but slide tackling—you have to be able to slide tackle. You have to be able to play defense. You have to be able to cut and pivot and move and not break your ankle. And I understand what he's saying about creating a softer generation, because that's absolutely true. However, they should have a quality field that's maintained by your supervisors and Parks and Rec because it's what we pay for as taxpayers. This is something that should be an absolute. You should have no potholes or very few, or they should be taken care of rather quickly. Your medians should be weed-free. Your parks should be well-maintained. Your public safety should be fully staffed.
Yeah.
Those are the four basics. If you can't do that, get the heck out of office.
I think also, too, right, every sport, most sports are going to have an inherent risk of some sort of injury.
Always.
Right? But what I'm saying is there is a more than a regular chance of injury because the local municipalities, being City of Tucson and Pima County, are negligent
in preventative maintenance or upkeep.
Yep. So, all right, let's go to break. 8:46 in the morning. Sean McCluskey, Christy Simone, Matthew Esq. Let's see, where are we going to go here?
Should we go Siskamani when we come back?
Oh yeah, let's do that. I think that's a great place to finish our day. Look at Sean. Look at Mr. Matt. He's making it happen. Here we go again. Look at you. You're going to make me do that.
Something like that.
Wake up, Tucson. Everyone's a winner. Sounds like Little League. 8:49 in the morning. Christy Simone, Sean McCluskey. Hold on. Sean needs a microphone.
Everybody's a winner. Come on now. We are getting trophies later, too.
You're going to get a trophy.
You want to talk about creating
just
soft
for being
kids
on Wake Up Tucson, I'm going to get you a trophy.
I get one of those when I see people in a grocery store and they scare the crap out of me. Are you Sean? I'm like, oh my God, I got to stop talking to myself.
I like that. Well, talking to yourself, I do that all the
time. I was in the spaghetti aisle and a little lady snuck up on me and she pulled my shirt and said, are you Sean? I listened to you on Wake Up. And I'm like, okay, I just crapped my pants, little lady. Thanks. She scared the heck out of me.
That's cute.
I was on my headphones. I was talking and she could pick up the voice.
Beautiful.
Scary.
Well, as long as the headphones aren't, you're on a phone call and not just talking to
yourself. I was on a phone call talking out loud and she came over and tug, and I was like, gah!
So you like the fact that Mr. Siskamani is doing the response?
Dude, Juan's been killing it. I mean, he's on appropriations, number one. That's great as a freshman congressman. You couldn't ask for anything else. It's actually a high-profile position.
Yeah.
He's well-respected among his peers already as a freshman. He gets to do the response to the State of the Union in Spanish to the entire country, putting him on a showcase pedestal, if you will, which is great for us in Southern Arizona. And he's Juan. I mean, we've known Juan since, heck, I've known him since 2009. And Juan's the kind of guy when I've never seen him get mad, even during his last campaign. People took shots at him, and he never got mad. He just stayed even keel, went about his business. I got a couple of things that center me and ground me, and that's his family, God, and he does the right thing. So
he got attacked pretty hard by two candidates in the primary, and he kept his
just
he's calm
above the fray. Just keep, you know, it's like DeSantis. When Trump took a shot at DeSantis, DeSantis is like, I don't have time for you. And, you know, not to switch over, but DeSantis has come out and said lately, this next election is going to be about electability. Taking an indirect shot at Trump, and Trump's going to lose his damn mind. So Juan stays above that, and he does very well. And I think his peers have seen that. He's also got some good mentors on the Hill, if you will, like Schweikert and a few others. They took him in and said, hey, look, this is how we're going to do things. This is how you do things. If you have any questions, you come to us. And when he comes on, he's right on point.
Yep.
So, I mean, you couldn't ask for a better representative for Southern Arizona. And again, he gets to go on the national spotlight, the national showcase, and stand there and look, Southern Arizona Representative Juan Siskamani is going to give you the rebuttal in Spanish.
Well, I mean, you got a good team between, you have to have a mix of personalities as part of your delegation, right? Gosar is a little nutty for me, but Schweikert, Biggs, Eli is a good quiet warrior kind of guy. I like that, you know, Eli didn't want to play with the McCarthy thing.
Nope.
And he kept it nice and cool. I like that.
And he took a lot of flack for that, though, because he did eventually end up giving up. And when he did, people hammered him for it.
Well, Biggs gave up.
Yeah, but there are people that said, I'm never voting for
Biggs
you again.
Biggs didn't give up. I apologize. Yeah. Biggs did the abstain.
Yeah, I'm not going to vote. So,
yeah.
But like I said, I think Juan's doing a heck of a job. I think it's going to be a good 2 years for us. In about 8 months, he's going to have to start running for re-election, which
it's true.
Is kind of nice and also kind of bad because he's getting this spotlight right now. He's going to get a lot of national attention. I've got California investors that have investments here in Tucson. They used to donate to McSally. I turned them on to Juan. Now they donate to Juan. So
he has a... the ground game in Tucson in relation to constituent services are going to be amazingly important, right? So Becky and CJ and the crew have just got to, and I have confidence they will.
They're a good crew. They know what they're doing.
They have to knock that out of the park. They just had to, you know, get all the cobwebs out of the Kirkpatrick office I mean, it sounded like it's like Indiana Jones.
It was like opening the crypt. You haven't been there in a couple, 3-4 years. And Mother Nature took back over. It's amazing how that works. It's like the abandoned factory in the middle of Russia. It's all of a sudden the trees are growing through the floor. Yeah. How'd that happen?
So they got to do that. And then he has to, in addition to interacting with the Tucson community and his, his district, and then he has to stay present in the Republican Party, the local Republican. He has to stay present because what's going to happen is there are going to be a few of these constipator people who are already working that he needs to be out and all this stuff. And what's great about Juan, he did this during the primary, right? You'd have these Republicans like, you suck. You work for Ducey. I hate you because someone else told me on Facebook to hate you.
So then he'll go up and talk to that person.
Right,
say,
but
hey.
Then when Sean talks to him, Juan, not you, trust me. Not me either.
I just yell at him.
Yeah.
I don't talk.
And then Juan reaches out to him and they go, oh,
you know, he's pretty good guy. So bad after all.
Yeah. I mean, I see that in the Republican Party a lot locally right now. They see something on Facebook, so it's got to be true. And I keep seeing that regurgitation and
I'm going with this with the Republican Party locally. You want to make some money? This is what we do. We get the constipator people against the Liberty folks, against the Freedom folks, and get all the 9 different factions. And we do a celebrity super puffy boxing glove fundraiser. You can go whoop the crap out of each other if you'd like with big old fluffy gloves.
Or the inflatable sumo suits.
That would be good too. But, you know, $50 a person, get in, have a melee, WWE style. I don't care. Let's have some fun with it. But right now it's just a hot mess. And I wish the new chairman well. I don't know how they're going to make any money. I don't know how they're going to pull their collective head out of their butt and move this party train forward as they have to do. But if you're going to do anything and you want to have a guy at the forefront that's going to help you, Juan would be a good choice.
Absolutely.
Right. He's kind of like that ambassador. He stays above the fray.
Yeah.
He doesn't really care about the crap. He understands the crap, but he doesn't care about it. And he just avoids the minutia.
That's true.
He's like, look, I got a job to do. My job is not fighting with you. My job isn't, I agree with where you're coming from. I agree with your stance is, but my job is to do what everybody wants, not just one person.
So again, locally, with the Republicans, if they don't bring people together, right, it's going to be whatever effect they think they're going to have is going to be very limited. And they just got to deal in reality, right? This whole kerfuffle that I had with this Betsy Smith lady because they're pissed off because I said I'd like to meet Dave and get to know him before I have him on the show.
Sure.
That's their battle cry on Chris is a Bastard. Is I had said I'd like to meet him for coffee and get to know him before we have a discussion on the air. That's literally their battle cry.
Okay,
and after
children,
a while,
take
and after,
your toys and go home.
Right after,
just take your
right,
toys and
after
go
a
home.
While, you're like, I don't have time to deal with that. Right. And talking about Betsy Smith is bad radio.
I'd rather have Kasbar back on. At least that was good radio.
I'm just telling you,
the horse kids were better radio.
They were amazing. The horse kids.
I mean,
but you're right about Ciscomani. Ciscomani could be that guy to bring everyone together.
Sure.
And you're right. Dave Smith should be reaching out to him like yesterday.
And it's again
not Betsy, Dave.
It's about electability. And 2024 is going to be electability. And we've got some people here that couldn't get elected last election that think they can get elected in 2024. Look at our governor race.
Are you in agreement that if Trump's on the top of the ticket, he kills a bunch of people below him?
I don't think Trump makes the ticket. I don't think his electability is lacking. And I
and,
like him.
And they,
he was a great president. Don't get me wrong. I liked all of his policies. I liked what he implemented. But his bombastic nature and his inability to have a just casual conversation without attacking somebody is his downfall. His mean tweets kill the left, and the left they're never going to let him. Trump derangement syndrome is a true thing.
I agree with all that. I did like him as a president, right?
It was great.
I loved
225 gas.
Right? But I will tell you that
Is he electable? Can he win an election? Can he win a general? Not a primary. Can he win a general?
No.
Then he's not. He should not be your nominee.
And
you need to beat the left. That's the bottom game.
And the game. And the left and the media have figured out how to defeat Trump.
You just beat him up a little bit, and he comes back and fires back. And when he comes back with answer, that's when he loses.
This last election, okay, this last 2022, you saw that the Trump candidates suffered.
Carrie Lake's style was similar to Trump's, and she lost. She should have won 60-40. She had a 58 polling number coming into this thing. She should have carried Republicans over the line. We should have had a House majority. We didn't. Is she electable? That's going to be the question for all the candidates. I don't care who you are.
Wait till the crap show of the U.S. Senate primary.
As I stated, are you electable?
Right.
Can you win? Can you win with such a number, 60 to 40%, 55, to where they can't cheat you out of it, quote unquote, if you think they're cheating you?
Who's your predictions, or who's going to be the Republican candidates running for U.S. Senate? Who do you think?
Everybody and their brother.
Give me some names.
You got Kerry Lake. You're going to have.
Is Blake coming back?
I don't know if Blake comes back. Does Kelly Ward jump in?
Right.
Does Ducey jump in because he's supposedly the favorite? He's the dark horse.
How about Wendy Rogers?
Oh, again?
For Senate.
It's like the perpetual candidate. Why? She's always running for it. It's eventually. I mean, she won, but is she electable statewide?
She has to win in a safe district. So, all right, sir. Have a great weekend. It's your always. First weekend without football in a while.
I know. We're going to the horse track. I think that's where we're going to the horse track, everybody. Sunday, we'll see you there.
All right, amigo. Have a great weekend. Everyone, have a great weekend. Matt, have a great weekend.
Have a good one, guys.
We'll see you for opening day at Rito tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning, I'll be there probably between 11 and 12. And then we have happy hour at 5:30 at Mark's Short Rest Tavern, Games and Gadgets.